Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Welcome to the White House. Thank you all for joining us tonight to celebrate Hanukkah.
Wait.
Even if we're doing it a little bit early.
What?
Let it snow.
Wait, let's stop for a minute. Let's have a reset on that one. The president is celebrating Hanukkah 2 weeks early. He's lighting all the candles on one night instead of over the whole sequence. What an insult it is to the Jewish people. Can you imagine President Hussein Obama doing that on a Muslim holiday, celebrating it on the wrong day and celebrating it wrongly? Something tells me he wouldn't dare. But I guess when it comes to the Jewish voter, you can get away with anything, including putting a knife in Israel's heart and expecting the Jews to vote for you. Let's go back to ordinary programming. Dean Martin and some holiday music now on the Savage Nation. It is Friday. It is Friday. And we expect a smooth ride tonight at 43,000 feet. We're cruising at 477 miles an hour. The skies are clear. We do not expect any turbulence. The phone number to the pilot's cabin is 1-800-449-8255. We speak all languages except Arabic. 1-800-449-8255. Anyone attempting to break down the door while screaming Allahu Akbar will be sent to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco, where you will no doubt be declared incompetent to stand trial, which just happened. Did you hear what just happened? You didn't hear what just happened. Remember a fella from Yemen tried to break open a cockpit door, a few weeks ago, on an American flight or a United flight? He was screaming Allahu Akbar. Well, a crazed left-wing federal judge in San Francisco said he's incompetent to stand trial. I would say the judge is incompetent to wear dirty black robes. I would also say that the stench from the bench is making me clench. I would also say that the stinking Occupy movement seems to have hit a stone wall because they hope to shut the West Coast ports Monday. You heard me. The vermin, funded by George Soros, it came out today that a Soros-funded group is the nerve center of these vermin in the gutter. The Occupy movement of communists hopes to shut down ports along the West Coast on Monday. However, take a guess who is opposing shutting down the ports. The Dock Workers Union. The vermin want to shut down Los Angeles, Oakland, San Diego, Portland, Tacoma, Seattle, Anchorage, and Vancouver, B.C. What they want to do is cut off your food supply. And the International Longshore Warehouse Union is not aboard the sympathy shutdown. Listen to what Robert McElrath said in a letter to ILWU locals. Support is one thing. Organization from outside groups attempting to co-opt our struggle in order to advance a broader agenda is quite another. So even the unions recognize that they're going to be co-opted by these communist vermin. They go on. So the unions are now going to fight these vermin, which might be the only way to stop the vermin, because it was the unions who stopped the vermin in the 60s when they beat them up with pipes outside Wall Street then. Yes, that's correct. The plumbers union unleashed men with pipes, and that was the end of the long hairs. They all ran to the barber and went to work for Goldman Sachs. The others went to NYU, and the others went to San Francisco. But nevertheless, the unions, being left-wing, of course, understand that they have workers who need jobs. Jeff Smith, president of ILWU's Columbia River District Council, said, "If I wanted to shut down the port, I could do it without Occupy. I don't need them." He said, "This is a question for the Occupy movement, Why would I want to send my people home? Why would I take a job away from somebody? Well, he's right. He says, I don't get what they're thinking. It's my job to put people to work. I've got jobs for them. So I'm going to put them to work, and I'm going to take some of Wall Street's money. How do you like that? How do you like them bananas? Let's play Jingle Bell Rock by Bobby Helms while the people come back from the malls and the shopping. 1-800-449-8255. It's a nice time of year. I know you don't want to hear anything more about the dangers of the world and that Trump's debate has gone up in smoke. I hope not. I mean, it has. He's thinking of pulling it out. It's kind of debate us, interrupt us, but okay, these things happen. Sometimes there are loud noises which interrupt the flow of debates. Just like today, for example. They can't listen to me and the music. You got to turn it off. They can't. There's no way to hear two. They don't have a bi mind. They don't have a dual track mind. They can't hear music and listen to Michael Savage. One or the other. I know I try to combine the two. It's terrible. I've listened to it on replay. No one can hear me. Today, for example, went to San Francisco to my studio, and it's take my dog to work day. I declared it to be take my dog to work day, so I took my dog to work day. As I told you, I cut a trip short, came home Monday, and he hasn't left my side for 5 days, and I haven't left his side. I don't know who was more homesick, him or me. But nevertheless, I'm using him as an excuse to keep him with me. So I took him to the city today, right? I love the city during this time of year. So there were a couple of nice scenes. One was in one of the high-rise towers as we were coming back from an Indian buffet lunch, which he couldn't partake of because it's too spicy, but I sneak down him a little piece of the bread, whatever they call it, the Indian bread. They don't care. I mean, I'm going to throw it away anyway. He didn't want it. He wanted the chicken, but I couldn't give it to him because it was tandoori chicken. Nevertheless, he was patient because I said, I'll take you to McDonald's after, which I did. So I had the lunch. I go down the escalator, and I hear music, beautiful music, like symphonic music. And I amble over, and it's a junior high school orchestra, but they were so good, I thought that they were high-level professionals. So I'm standing there with Teddy a check coat, and he's looking at them with a big smile, looking like a little lion. Little teeny lion, and is it, you know, because it's San Francisco, it's a large Asian population, and one of the young kids was a guitar player in this like 40-piece orchestra playing for the public inside this building, as I say, and his part didn't come yet for the song, so he got a look at Teddy, and Teddy looked at him, and the kid looked at me and smiled, and I looked at the kid and smiled. This doesn't happen at other times of year. Everyone was smiling, you know. Now, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story to show you how nice people are this time of year. People let themselves go a little bit more. Maybe it's me. I don't know. Maybe if I did this every day, the world would change. I doubt it. The Scrooge in all of us seems to let its guard down for a couple of weeks a year around the birthday of Jesus of Nazareth. Sorry if I disappointed you. It didn't say Allahu Akbar. But the country was not founded by Muslims, despite what Obama will tell you. And so far as I can tell, the Muslims had nothing to do with space travel. Even though Obama claims they did. Nevertheless, we'll go on. So I went over to McDonald's because I promised my dog a hamburger after I ate my lunch. I go in and I order two junior burgers, or simple burgers, no salt, no pepper, right? But it was very crowded. It was an indoor one, so I had to wait. There was an elderly woman who didn't look like she was homeless, but she was poor, okay? And she was having a coffee and a little something, sitting at a table by herself, and my shoelace was untied. Now, I don't know if you ever try to tie a shoelace when you're wearing an overcoat on a cold day and you've got a dog on a lead and you have one hand. It's very hard to tie a shoelace with one hand. I don't know how women do these things with dogs and children and cars and groceries. I couldn't manage it. So this old woman says, here, I'll hold him for you. He's so cute. I thought she was scowling at him, you know, because she just was unhappy. Oh, that's sweet. So she holds the dog. I tie my shoe and she looks at me. She says, your other shoelace is untied. I became like this doddering idiot. I said, oh, God. So I bend over. I do the other shoelace now. Then I get the burgers, and I start to leave, and I say, no. Go back and offer the woman something for being kind to you. I go back, and I said, can I buy you? She says, oh, no, 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 it's fine. I don't need anything. I said, here's $20. Buy yourself something for the holidays. And I made her day. And you know what? I made my day five times better than I made her day. Why? I don't know why. Because giving is getting. And as I say, the Occupy movement is going to give a little bit too much to the unions now on Monday, and I hope the unions give it to them back. 1-800-449-8255, Paul in New York, on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Oh, Mike, pleasure to speak to you.
Thanks.
All right. I was a Teamster, and basically we actually got a major layoff. It was in the New York area. Now, the union ain't doing anything for me, but for the guys who are in the union, it's like, you got to think of it this way. You have a steady job, but then if something comes along, it's called patriotism to America, you would give up, screw everybody's life up to be a union member and be a communist compared to being a freedom fighter and, you know, an American instead. And that's a good thing what these guys are realizing now. Because
You think the unions are coming to their senses, that they're being manipulated by George Soros and the Occupy bums? You think they understand it?
Yeah, I think they do, because, you know, people in New York here, I do have a few friends who are Teamsters, and they're done. And they're done with the union because they promised them everything. But what have they done? Nothing already. So, you know what?
Well, that's like the look, the Soviet Union promised its citizens everything and gave them nothing. And then they moved to America, they got everything, and that's why we were broke.
Exactly.
No, I hear you. I only hope that the unions follow through and give the Occupy movement a Bronx cheer on Monday and throw them in the bay. They'll get the good bath they've been looking for, a nice cold bath. Are there any Jewish voters out there who are offended by Obama celebrating Hanukkah 2 weeks before Hanukkah and lighting all the candles instead of properly one candle each night? Is there no level at which Obama can insult the Jewish voter? Because I'll tell you right now, I'll make a bet that Obama will not lose the Jewish vote. I'll make the bet that no matter what he does, when push comes to shove, they'll go in the booth and hit the D. They can't help it. It's encoded in the liberal Jewish mentality. There's no way they can stop. There's just no way. 1-800-449-8255. Marilyn Forrest, you're on the Savage Nation. Forrest, go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage. It's a pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
I wanted to tell you, sir, I've been listening to you now on my second year.
Yes, sir.
You're one of the greatest thinkers that I have heard in my time.
That's quite a compliment. Let me say this. I pride myself on my logic, but I will say this. I'm a natural thinker, Forrest. I'm a natural thinker. I'm an average man with, I think, a kind of more than average education and a more than average thought process, and I'm very focused, but I'm a natural mind. I'm not a highly played-out mind in some ways. In other words, I don't play with words.
Well, you remind me of a philosopher as much as anything. You psychoanalyze many things, and you remind me immensely of Dr. Emanuel Velikovsky.
Oh, my God. Well, Velikovsky was a... See, he was an extraordinary prophet. He was a prophet rather than just a natural thinker. He predicted and prophesied that the Earth would again be hit by a great celestial body, and that perhaps a good portion of life on Earth would be wiped out as it has been in the past. I don't have the skill set nor the inclination for that kind of prophecy. Forrest, what is your field or endeavor, or what was it if you were retired? What area did you work in?
I am an electronic engineer, sir, but I am a history fanatic. I read everything I can, and Dr. Velikovsky's comparisons to what we see now.
What do you mean by what we see now? He made no predictions about the social order, did he?
In several of his last books, he brought up the fight that he had with the scientific and political community just to get
fight. In the beginning, the AAAS called him a crazy man. But at the end of his life, they lauded Dr. Velikovsky. The AAAS had a whole meeting devoted to him toward the end of his life. You know that.
Yes, he was.
You know, I'm saying in the beginning they vilified him because he was too far ahead of the average science mind, especially the executives. But toward the end of his life, they recognized what a great genius he was. We're speaking about Emanuel Velikovsky, whose popular books included Worlds in Collision and Earth in Upheaval, books that influenced my thinking greatly. I'm sending this listener a copy of Abuse of Power. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, it is not yet Hanukkah. Let's give thanks for our blessings, for being together to celebrate this wonderful holiday season. And, you know, we never need an excuse for a good party.
Hanukkah has nothing to do with an excuse for being together. He's taken a semi-sacred religious holiday and just trashed it for political gain. I doubt very much that he would do that with a Muslim holiday like, I can name a few of them. And as you know, I respect all of the five world's religions, but the fact of the matter is, this is a really pretty big insult. But of course, the Jewish people can't be insulted except by evangelical Christians who love Israel. That seems to be the only insult that Jewish liberals will abide. How dare you support Israel? We know that you don't really like Jews. You don't know how they think, do you? You have never really met the mind. You've never gone inside the mind of a Jewish liberal. You want to go in there with me? You want to go into the mind of a Larry David? Here, I'll give you the mind of a Larry David. But, sir, the greatest supporter of the Jewish people on earth are the evangelical Christians. Ah, come on. Don't be stupid. They're just waiting for you to convert to Christianity. That's Larry David. That's inside the mind of the Hollywood mind. I mean, I know how things work at this stage of life. Nobody has a better view of the clock of mind than I do. Nobody. You want to talk about it? You can. It's not the biggest deal on earth. I mean, he's a bad politician. The end of the earth, at the end of the day, Obama's simply a bad politician who's been, I think, found out. That's all. Can't wait to give you a hug and a kiss and wish you a happy holidays. The guys with whiskers, I won't give you a kiss. So who were the Quisling Orthodox Jews? How much did they pay him to go there? And what they got out of it? This is unbelievable. The guys with the whiskers, I won't give you a kiss. Listen to clip. Hey, you're not going to believe. There's a bunch of rabbis standing around in clip six. Listen to this.
As I look around, I see a whole bunch of good friends. We can't wait to give you a hug and a kiss and wish you a happy holiday. The guys with whiskers, I won't give you a kiss.
You think he would say that to Muslims with whiskers? Kind of doubt it. Well, now maybe that shows that the Jews are more gentle and he can joke with them. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe the Muslims can learn to be insulted and take it. You know what I mean? Maybe the Muslim can learn from their Jewish brethren to just be insulted and roll over. You never know.
Savage.
So the Occupy movement, as you well know, is a group of deranged communists, anarchists, funded by George Soros. And they want to shut down all of the West Coast ports on Monday. The unions are saying the yet. The IL, the International Longshore Warehouse Union, is not aboard the sympathy shutdown. These rats are saying that these ports play a pivotal role in the flow and growth of capital for the 1% in this country and internationally. Can you believe this? Can you understand how insane this is? Can you understand that if the unions let this go on, they're cutting the throats of the workers and the unions know that? My only hope, and I pray to God, that some of these anarchists, communists, these know-nothing, useless idiots who have nothing to do but disrupt things, you heard what I said. I finally hope they get what they're looking for. The cops had to constrain themselves, and constrain themselves they did. But I will tell you something else. If those unions ever let those workers go on the Occupy movement, 99% of them would go back home to mommy, get a haircut, and go back to community college and look for a job as a typist or as a coffee server. So it's really offensive to me. Maybe they finally will have made the biggest mistake of their lives. Longview locals are saying no to Occupy Portland. They say, why would I want to send my people home? Why would I take a job away from somebody? So that's a union president who understands it. Of course, San Francisco being deranged might go along with it. And there's no port here anyway that is worth a damn. The workers here, there is no port in San Francisco. It was killed a long time ago by Dianne Feinstein and the redevelopers. All right, let's go on to something less offensive. Things are playing themselves out. We're living through the 1920s here in the United States of America on a minor scale, the Weimar Republic in Germany. The only thing that has not yet emerged. See, the Occupy rats are the communist street gangs that ran wild in Germany in the 1920s. The only thing that hasn't occurred yet is a right-wing reaction of gangs meeting them head-to-head with nightsticks and uniforms. which I pray never happens. I absolutely pray that never happens. But we right now we have Stalins, little Stalins and Stalinettes. Stalins and Stalinettes and little Maos and little Mao Tse-Tungites. Little Maos and little Pol Pots and little Stalins running around in their little tents. And they're trying to disrupt everybody's life. And we all hate them. Nobody has sympathy for them anymore. Everybody hates their guts because we've all seen who they are. Everyone hates them. Now they want the unions to go along with them and shut down ports. And the unions are saying, you crazy? We're not going to do that. Why would I send workers home? We need jobs. My only hope is that the unions finally control these people and send them back to mommy because of the opposition to the communists that occurred in Germany in the 20s. I don't think you understand how Hitler rose to power. It wasn't by accident. The communists have become so brazen. The communists have become so violent. The communists have become so everywhere that these ex-soldiers put themselves together in militias, put uniforms on themselves to match the uniforms of the communists. You don't know this. You only think that the brown shirts had uniforms, which they did, the Nazi brown shirts. But how many of you listening to the show have ever seen pictures of the communists in the streets of Germany wearing their uniforms and running around with clubs? You didn't see that because the media has controlled that. They wanted you to think that Hitler came out of a vacuum. He didn't. Hitler was a reaction to the international socialism that was spreading across the globe. And God help us all if history repeats itself this way. I only pray that there's enough wisdom in the world to avoid this mistake again. How it will happen is anyone's guess. That's all I can say. That's how I see these things. You want me to talk about something else? I will do it. Anything you want to talk about, it's open mic to mic Friday. This thing with Hanukkah is an interesting one, where he celebrates Hanukkah for the 2 weeks early and then makes a joke, a mockery of the guys with beards, saying the guys with whiskers, I won't give you a kiss at a Hanukkah celebration. To me, it's funny. Why wouldn't he ever say that to the guys with whiskers who practice Islam? Anyone have an answer to that? Anything with Muslims and Islam, they're like grim-faced in the White House. They follow it to a T. To a T, like they walk on glass. With Jews, it's 2 weeks early. We'll light all the candles and we'll joke about you guys with beards. All right, come on up. Let's break some matzah together. But, sir, it's not Passover. Never mind. Now, come on. Have some manischewitz. We like a good party over here. Ha, ha, ha. What did the rabbis get out of for this? What did they get out of this? The guys at the whiskers. What deal did they get for going there? What was the deal? I don't get this. Because most Orthodox Jews are pretty conservative. Don't they understand that Obama's the most anti-Israel president in history? So who are these quisling rabbis who were there with the black coats? Which sect of Hasidism was there? Is there a Hasidic Jew listening? Which sect of Hasidim went there as quislings to sell Israel down the river? Anyone know? I don't know who the guys with the whiskers were. Was it the Satmars? Was it the Lubavitch? Was it another group I never heard of? Which one was it? Which ones went over there? What did they get schmeared? What did they get on their bagel? What schmear did he put on their bagel to go there? Go ahead, call up an ADL, see if I care. A lot of good they've ever done me. You know, they're not there when you need them, and they're there when you don't need them. That's all. 1-800-449-8255. What else is in the news? New York. Mark, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, Michael. Michael, I am a Jew, and I am a conservative Jew. And I would say that most conservative Jews would be offended at Obama, and probably, if you really check, the ultra-Orthodox did not vote for him anyway.
The guys with whiskers who were there with him at this mock Hanukkah celebration at the White House were Orthodox Jews. Who were they? Does anyone know?
Who the heck knows? I will say this much. They probably, were paid off, or they could be the Satmar. There is a sect of Judaism that does not believe in the state of Israel.
Oh, I know, the Satmar. Yeah, well, they would be a natural ally for Obama. Many of them were friends of Yasser Arafat.
Of course. And here's another fact that I just learned on the Internet when I was looking at this fiasco at the White House is the fact that he does it on the anniversary of the first Intifada. Dig that one.
I guess those guys with whiskers are his friends. Who knows?
They have to be. I mean, let's face it. He's the president of the United States. He can't have advisors that can say, hey, you shouldn't do it on this day or you shouldn't do it on that day.
Oh, wait, why didn't he do it on the right night? I could see him doing all the candles on the first night of Hanukkah. Why 2 weeks ahead? I mean, does it make sense? Even if he's on vacation in Hawaii, he could take out a menorah there in Hawaii, couldn't he? I think he did it because his poll numbers amongst Jews is collapsing right now. So he figures that the Jewish vote is so fickle, they'll see him with a bunch of whiskered people. They'll figure, oh, he loves us.
He's written off the Jew vote, Michael.
But why is he celebrating Hanukkah at all? Look, I don't want to turn this into a big deal. You know, it isn't. On one hand, it is. On the other hand, it isn't. I think Obama has made so many missteps that this is a minor one by comparison. And what's interesting to me, though, is that he has no sensitivity and he has no sense of relationship to people. Who advised them on this? Who advised them? I don't get it. Look, I don't know. Let's move on. Sacramento, California. Elaine, topic, please. Go ahead.
I got just a portion of your talk about olive oil tests the other day.
Yeah.
And I thought it was fascinating. Could you repeat?
Yes, an article came out saying that most imported Italian olive oil is adulterated. Are you surprised after watching The Sopranos?
I was surprised to hear you say it.
Well, my joke was anything that has to call itself extra virgin unto itself is an oxymoron. Either you're a virgin or you're not. How could you be an extra virgin?
True. I enjoyed that part.
No, but having said that, it turns out that much of the oil is mixed with other oils, number one. But worse yet, the Italians, some of the unscrupulous ones, are taking rancid olive oil, somehow fracturing it and taking out the rancidity and then reflavoring it, and then diluting the olive oil with that stuff. There's a good note, though, which is that most California olive oils that are labeled extra virgin are absolutely 100% extra virgin olive oil.
That's great. I need
that's something you should know. And see, I generally use Spanish olive oil myself, and I find the taste interesting because it's a lower acidity. And I mentioned this once on the show. I go to a certain Basque restaurant in San Rafael, California, right? So I went there about a month ago. And some fellas who grow olives left me some oil. I don't remember the brand. I have to say I'm sorry, but they're Basque men who started an olive oil company. I tried it last night. It was delicious. I dip bread in it. Whether it's, I'm sure it's California oil, so it must be 100%. That's the whole story. And there's one other brand they said. I figured Kirkland olive oil from Costco turned out to be 100% Italian extra virgin, if there are any left in Italy. If there are any extra virgins left in Italy, it's all in the Kirkland cans. How could you have an oxymoronic statement? I never understood that because for years I was buying olive oil. I grew up in New York, so we bought these little bottles of olive oil. It was good enough for me. Who knew the difference? But like everything else, it started to become a big deal. Everything became a big deal, and there were varieties within the varieties of the varieties. Olive oil was olive oil to me. I didn't know the difference. And my mother used olive oil very rarely. She used something else. Who knows? Then cooking oil was probably poison. Planter's oil. I don't know. So the olive oil. Then along came virgin olive oil. Then came along extra virgin olive oil. So what's extra virgin olive oil? Extra, read all about it. Nothing. The answer is it's all adulterated, according to the study. So, you know, buyer beware, caveat emptor, whatever. In other words, there's a sucker born every minute. That's all. It's like green energy. Extra virgin olive oil is equivalent of green energy, in other words. If you believe Al Gore, you can believe in extra virgin olive oil. I'm not telling you to go back to Crisco or start, you know, cooking with rendered fat. But, I mean, for God's sakes, who do you believe anymore? Everything is this and that. I mean, we have an adulterated presidency, so what do you expect in the olive oil? If you have a presidency that's adulterated, what can you expect in a bottle of olive oil? Hey, does anyone have any thoughts on the Trump debate? There's the talk that he may cancel it owing to poor attendance by attendees. That's an interesting story. I guess Donald Trump is looking into canceling the GOP debate, according to the Daily News, because there was only Gingrich. you know, only Gingrich there. So I thought that from the beginning Trump was going to use it to sell himself to the American people. He was going to use them as marionettes to push himself. And I believe he will run as a spoiler to take the election away from Romney. That's my personal feeling. Take it for what it is. If he runs, he'll get 8 to 10% of the vote, no more. That's the end of the election. Obama wins, and then that's all. It's done. Boom. Done. It's the end of it. So I hope there's no third party run, personally. Now, Bachman wasn't going to debate either. And who else wasn't? No one was going to debate. It was Gingrich and someone else. Who knows? Look. It's a sad time in American history that we have such a tepid Republican group out there. But, you know, what do you expect? These are career politicians that are out there. We all loved Cain, and then he imploded. They destroyed him, and he destroyed himself. You know, I mean, he made it easy for them to take him down. That's the sad truth. Let's say he wasn't qualified anyway, but he would have been a good president in some ways because he was an independent. And God knows he probably wouldn't have gotten anything done. To be honest with you, you know, it's not good enough to just have ideas as a politician, which is why I would be the world's worst politician. I have fabulous ideas. That's why I do a talk show and I write books. But there's a big difference between, I'll tell you right now, lay it on the line for you. There's a difference between ideas and the ability to get policies passed in a country. That's a whole different story. You need to know how to navigate the halls of Washington. I would be the world's worst politician. I'm too blunt. I'm too brusque. I don't have patience for people. I don't like to listen to anybody. I admit it. It's not that I can't. I'm bored of everything on earth. Maybe you say you think you know it all. It's not that I know it all, but I think I pretty much know what needs to be done. That doesn't translate to a good politician. A good politician knows how to listen and knows how to work with people, knows how to horse trade, knows how to knock heads together and all of that. It's a big, complex world. I don't understand it. That's why I can't work in a corporate structure. It's very similar. I have worked in corporations. I have found some things about corporate life pretty good and some things pretty difficult when I was much younger. You know, you could easily say corporate life is no good. That's nonsense. It's pretty nice to have a good corporate job, incidentally. At least there was in the 1960s when I had one. Very comfortable to go into a big building in New York City, ride the elevator in shiny shoes, you know, get the coffee cart comes around and you chat with coworkers, then you got a lunch break. It was actually quite nice for a young guy to be working in a big corporate structure. I never told you the story. I worked for a major league publishing company for a while. That came to a catastrophic end because I was politically, catastrophic. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Does that offend you for me to say Merry Christmas? I say it here. The people in the city, they say Happy Holidays. I say Merry Christmas to them. They'd actually wince. They're afraid that Chaz Napolitano is going to have them arrested for having said heard the word Christmas in America. With the wheels coming off the GOP debate he is supposed to host, Donald Trump admitted Friday that he's looking into canceling the sparsely attended forum. But Trump, in a typical display of chutzpah, said there's another reason why he might pull a plug. He still may run for president. Now, here's an interesting story. He claimed that several GOP candidates told him they'd only do the December 27th debate if Trump vowed to not launch a late bid for the White House once The Apprentice was off the air. Trump refused. So there it is. So he wouldn't guarantee them that he wouldn't run against them. Anyway, there we are. There we are. It's egg on your face, honey. I mean, it's big egg on your face for that one. That's not good. That'd be like me hosting a debate and no one showed up. Me, you could laugh at. I mean, someone asked me to run a debate. They did a major league internet service. I'm not going to say who. I said, don't. Don't use me because they won't come. They don't have the guts to face me. None of them will show up. Not even Rick Santorum would show up if I was the moderator. Wolf Blitzer, yes. A communist from any communist newspaper, yes. a socialist, anarchist, communist from the Occupy movement, they'd be there in a minute inside a tent. But me, no. No, don't go to anywhere near a real conservative who cares about borders, language, and culture. It's nice seeing Obama with the Hanukkah menorah. It's very nice, all lit up like that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Do you know the story of Hanukkah? Shall I tell it to you? Would all you Christians like to hear the story of Hanukkah? It's a very beautiful story. First of all, it's not a biblically correct holiday. It didn't exist in the Bible. The first thing you're going to know is most of the holidays that we know of were inventions, post-biblical inventions, which is fine. They're traditions, in other words. The myth goes that after the ancient Jewish temple was destroyed by the Romans, there was nothing but rubble. And then the Jews went back into the rubble, and they looked for the holy oil. The holy oil was still there, and they found a little bit of it, and they lit it. And they thought it would only last one night. They thought it was a small amount of oil, but it lasted instead 8 nights. So what's the metaphor? If it's just a myth, what does it serve? How does it serve us? In order for a holiday to have meaning, it has to serve the human soul. So the way I heard this many years ago was this, is that no matter how downtrodden you are, no matter how broken you are in spirit, no matter how low you feel, no matter how dead you are inside, no matter how much you think you can't go on, inside you there's a drop of holy oil. There's a drop left, and if you would find a way to ignite that drop of oil, you could come back to life. It's a beautiful idea, and truthfully, it'll work for you. Don't forget that man is more than just a pile of bones and blood and muscle. Man has something else. Call it a spirit, call it a soul. I don't care what you call it. But you and I both know there's more to man than meets the eye. And that more than mankind is what religion talks to. So look for that drop of holy oil within yourself.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Music.
Beginning to look a lot like
who is the Grinch who stole Hanukkah? Who is the Grinch who stole Hanukkah?
You go. Take a look in the fighting hand.
Obama could now be known as the Grinch who stole Hanukkah. It's not the biggest deal on earth, but it is an interesting story. He goes and he lights the Hanukkah candles 2 weeks before the Jewish holiday of Hanukkah, and he not only lights them 2 weeks before, but he lights all of them at once. Which is a triple insult. Then he says, listen to clip 6, what he says to the audience. Listen to this one.
As I look around, I see a whole bunch of good friends. We can't wait to give you a hug and a kiss and wish you a happy holiday. The guys with whiskers, I won't give you a kiss.
So that's what he says to Orthodox Jewish rabbis. The guys with whiskers, I won't give you a kiss. It's cute. Would he say that to Muslims with full beards? Kind of doubt it. I kind of doubt that. I don't know. I can't imagine guys with whiskers who pray to Allah would get a kick out of that one. I get a kick out of you. Romney is going to debate with Gingrich? When? When is this Saturday night? I'm not going to watch it. I'm tired of Gingrich already. I wish he'd just go back to lobbying and leave me alone already. I'd like the election to come around. I'm sick of this already. Let me just have the election of Romney versus Obama already. That's all. Let's get it over with. Let's stop with all these clowns and these imposters. It's like Sesame Street. It's like the Muppets touring America. All the Muppets touring America. Me, me, me. 9, 9, 9. Yes, yes, yes. You can do it. It's unbelievable to me. Why are the Democrats not fighting with each other, ripping Obama apart? Because they're smarter. There should be a primary. See, if there was a mutual primary, a concurrent primary at the same time, where Democrats were attacking Obama every day with the things he has done, I would say fine, but it isn't. That's all. What else is in the news? Everything and nothing. Everything and nothing. I'll talk about anything in this hour except olive oil. Wisconsin, Diane, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage. Thank you. I wanted to get through so many times. I could sit here.
All right, please. I don't want to be rude, but Diane, what is your main point? Come on, what is it?
Oh, I just wanted to say thank you, first of all, for the story about Hanukkah, because I had never heard that before.
You never heard that before.
No,
I'm a great spiritual teacher when I want to be, and that spiritual story will spread like it should throughout the world, because that's a universal story I told. It doesn't limit itself to Jewish people. There's no limit to the people who can be inspired by such a story. So if I really wanted to go the road of spirituality, I could do it. Instead, I choose to sit here as a curmudgeon on the conservative bandwaves. And work in religion whenever it's necessary. And I think it's necessary to take because when I see Obama kind of making a joke out of a religious holiday, I think, okay, come on. If I were asked to give a story about it, I gave it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. Fault nor my screener's fault. Here's the problem. I'm so gifted at conversationalism that when people talk to me on the radio, they think they know me and they think that they're talking to a friend, as it should be. And then no one's listening. So they mumble. They mumble to themselves like in a room with a kerchief on somewhere having a Sanka. They don't realize it's 8, 10 million and whatever people. And then it's a national show. They're sitting there in a house coat with a Sanka alone. And I'm glad you could. And the Hanukkah. What? I don't even understand. What's that about? She didn't mean anything by it. But the call screener couldn't catch her in time. It's just a strange business radio. It's like having a party line with like 90 phones on at once. Oh, okay. It's Friday. I'm a little exhausted. This has been a hard week. This has been a long day's journey into Friday, I got to tell you. Flying back on Monday, 6.5 hours in the plane and then running to the microphone without missing a show. Just I did it out of to prove I can do it. Sometimes I do things to prove things to myself that I can do them. I haven't missed a show all week. Have you noticed that? I have every reason to miss a show, and then I have no reason to miss a show. I don't need to rest. There's nothing out there. I've discovered there's nothing out there outside of radio. There is no life after radio. None. Just ask the talk show hosts who have lost their jobs in San Francisco, especially the guy who used to do the dining show. Imagine the shock when he has to go in and pay for his meal in Napa. Oh, the first day that guy has to pay for his own cannoli could put him into the coffin. God forbid. He's a very nice guy, if I remember correctly. But he had a show on restaurants and dining. I don't think the guy paid a nickel for the last 10 years for a meal anywhere. From Napa to San Jose, the guy came. They knew they were going to get it was a Frisco coming. It wasn't Alfresco, it was Alfrisco. He was dining Alfrisco, not His guy was dining Alfrisco for so long, so now the show is over. He thinks that they're going to continue to do it because he's such a great guy with his entourage. All right, the day he has to pay for that cannoli, I can guarantee you, they call 911. I hope not. He's a very nice guy. The last I saw him 10 years ago. Where's Bernie Ward? Is he still in prison? Does anyone know? They closed down the station. I know I'm joking. Is he listening to me? Bernie, how are you? This is from my Bay Area audience. There was a talk show host here who was the most vile left winger that God had ever made. He's he's along the lines of what you see on MSNBC, only they're worse than him. He attacked God and church and family. He was an ex-priest who hated the Catholic Church. On and on he went. They caught him with downloading child porn. We're not talking about child porn. A guy had beautiful children. I don't want to relive it. It was pretty disgusting. The email chain of what he was fantasizing with his own daughter was so disgusting. They locked him away for 8.5, 9 years somewhere. Where was it? Tennessee? I don't know. Oklahoma. So he probably in his mind figured when he came out, ML would give him a job again. Little did he know that ML went already over the River Styx. They sent him out. See, there's no one. Now there's no station. No one will hire this guy. What can he do after this? I guess he could get a job as a Santa. That's a lot of Santas do that. He could do balloon parties like Howard Stern does probably in his spare time. He could like take balloons and make figures out of them, dressed up as a clown, and make filthy images out of balloons, the balloon man. I don't know, man. It's a hard world out there. Why should I make a mockery of other people? Answer, because they deserve it, because they're so sickening. 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 They get me sick. I don't know about you. I actually get angry when I see guys like Alec Baldwin. I actually hate him. Not just what he did on the plane. I hate the man's face. Some faces, I don't mind a person's a liberal, doesn't bother me. That's the way they are. But some of them, these Hollywood people are so arrogant and disgusting. I don't know how they make a living. Like when I see Alec Baldwin's face, I get physically ill. I hate him so much because of what he said to his daughter and how evil he is. Man said, maybe I'll be mayor. Remember about a year ago? Maybe I'll be mayor. These guys are so arrogant, they think they could be anything. Little they know, the ugly fat guys who write their scripts and, you know what I'm saying, who make them who they are. There's another one, Larry David. The worst man on the planet is Larry David. One of the most radical psychos on the planet, Larry David. Fake from top to bottom, a Brooklyn faker. And very big right now. Why? Because he did that movie. What was that show they did with that other actor? What's his name? Seinfeld. I never liked Seinfeld. I never saw what people saw in it. I don't understand it. What's so funny? With the canned laughter. I took a toothbrush and I put it in my sock. I don't understand it. I never thought Seinfeld was funny. There are comedians who are funny. He was not a funny guy. I'll tell you who is funny. You want to know who is funny? Seinfeld is not funny. I'll tell you who is funny. I forgot his name, but he's funny. His father's a comedian. What's his name? Come on. His father's doing a lot of... Stiller's funny. Ben Stiller, I don't care if he's a communist, he's funny. His father is funny. They're naturally funny people. Seinfeld is not funny at all. I don't care how much money he made. He's not funny. Who's funny at all anymore? Who's funny? What's funny? What is funny? Funny. You're funny. What do you mean funny? Funny. What's funny? Funny. Funny. Let's have some funny, honey. Honey, let's have some funny. Let's have funny, honey. Let me look at the Christmas songs now on this Major League radio show. Do you know that every actor in Hollywood would love to have a radio show like I do? Do you have any idea what they'd pay to get up here and talk for 3 hours a day? They'd last about 3 minutes. They last one show and then quit. Forget their ratings. Nobody could understand how hard this is to do. But with me already, it's a second nature. I don't have to tell you. This is a second nature for me talking on the radio. I speak as naturally to you as I would to someone in person. And many of you think that I'm in the room with you, or in the car with you, or in the prison cell with you, or in the mental hospital with you, or deep within the entrails of the Department of Homeland Security, or deep within the entrails of the FBI where the monitors are listening, or deep within naval intelligence, since instead of monitoring the Chinese Navy, they're monitoring radio shows. You know, that's what they do. Instead of monitoring the Chinese naval maneuvers, they're monitoring what conservatives are saying on the radio. They have nothing else. It's unbelievable to me why they waste their time on a natural man like me, a natural American. California to convert prison from women to men. Guess they need more prisons for men than they do for women. California to convert prison from women to men. Chowchilla. California will convert a Central Valley Women's Prison, a facility for low and medium security male inmates, as part of a sweeping statewide plan to send lower-level criminals to local jails instead of state lockups. This means the Valley State Prison for Women will no longer be needed to hold nearly 3,200 inmates. Currently, where are they going? Many women meet the requirements to serve their time locally, reducing the number of female state inmates nearly 40% next 18 months. So they're, in California, the budget's so screwed up, they're releasing prisoners. The prison industry grew so fast that the state is releasing the prisoners as fast as they're putting them in jail. You know what I'm saying? In other words, it's like a revolving door. It's not, I don't know where they're going to all go. How many of them could go to work for the government? How many of them can Jerry Brown hire? There aren't that many state jobs that are... Oh, God, what else is in the news? SAF rally, Occupy this. Nothing in the news. Nothing in the news. No, there's nothing in the news. There's so much news, it's frightening. Let's play an Elvis Presley song. Let me pick one. We've got Elvis Presley, Blue Christmas, Every Day Was Like Christmas, I'll Be Home for Christmas, White Christmas, I Hear the Bells of Christmas, and he was on Junk. He was singing this while he was on Smack, huh? Okay, play any of them. I want to see if I can hear the drugs. I want to just hear it.
Horses moors without you. Chasing the dragon. So blue. Just thinking.
It'll be heaven. Got a little bit of the Grateful Dead in it, actually. There's a slight chord variation that's almost Grateful Dead-ish. Must have been the substance. Did he say Beavis Hang Deer? Beavis Hang Deer? Were you an Elvis fan? Are there Elvis fans? I don't understand his phenomenon either. I was around during his time. I mean, he was exciting, but I don't understand him. I don't know why he was the king. I never understood it. Is there something wrong with me that I can't relate to sports figures or popular entertainers? Do I lack an American gene that is suspect? Does this make me a man who is truly to be questioned and doubted because I'm not really into sports and I don't understand popular entertainment as well as I should? Should I be investigated and rubber hosed by the Chaz Napolitano's DHS? I'll be right back.
Savage.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know.
We are listening to Savage Christmas music. Of course, this is the king of rock and roll. What's this one called? Not Blue Christmas, huh? In his case, it really was a white Christmas. He had a white Christmas every day, according to what I read. Sometimes it was a brown Christmas. Depends upon the source. Listen to this crazy story. Penn State hires President Clinton's former special counsel, Lanny Davis, to look into the scandal. Can you imagine this? Lanny Davis being hired by Penn State to investigate? It's unbelievable to me. I never saw anything like it. You talk about a clueless university. Half of them belong in the state pen, not in Penn State. That's an old joke. But still works, you know, old but good. Very, very good. New York, Kathy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I love the interpretation of the Hanukkah story. It was beautiful, and I had never heard it told that way. I wondered when, since the story originated, did the menorah become the symbol of the eight candles, when I thought I understood that it was one candle that burned for eight nights. And I don't mean to put you on the spot. I just wondered if you have...
No, I hear you, but what are you asking me exactly? I'm not quite sure.
When the menorah itself, the shape of it and the fact that there are eight, when
yes.
did that become the symbol, and why are there eight candles?
In other words, if the story is that the temple was destroyed by the Romans, the Jews went back in the rubble, they found the holy oil, and they lit it, and they thought it would only burn for one night, but it burned for eight nights. You're saying, what are you asking then? When did the two arms appear with the four candles on each arm?
Yes.
I don't have an answer to that time and period, but that time in history. But, you know, this is not a biblical holiday, you understand. It's a cultural holiday.
I just love the whole thing that you said about that we all have the holy oil within us. I thought that was lovely. And
yeah.
It was applicable to everyone, but it got me...
Right, it doesn't matter what your religion is. It doesn't even matter if you're an atheist. All that matters is that you're human. And most people go through hell in their lives at some point, and they think they're burned out and can't go on another day. And what I have found in my life when I was down and out is that within all of us, there's a drop of holy oil, and if only you could find a way to ignite it, it could burn for a very long period of time. And the trick is, how do you ignite that holy oil? So we try drugs, we try alcohol, we try sex, we try porn. God knows what people try. And it rarely does it work for any length of time, and we all know that. And they burn out again. And the only way to relight that holy oil or kindle it is through the spiritual sources that ignited our ancestors and kept the religions burning for thousands of years. And that is why religions are valid today.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. So look, You know, I ended up how many hours a day I work because I don't like being attacked by the vermin in the tents and the jealous people out there. I am the 1%. I'm probably in the 0.1%. But I've earned every penny of it, number one, and I work very hard for it while I could have stopped working a while ago and live quite modestly. I continue to work as I have since I was a young boy. And I should be looked up to as a model, a role model for younger people, not attacked by these rats and bums who would drag us all down. We wind up without any food in our mouth if we listen to them. So one of the things I do is I get up every morning early. Like now I'm getting up 4 or 5 o'clock because I'm on East Coast time, even though I can't sleep any later. So what I'm doing is website, finding stories, sending them, working on 2 books, preparing for a show, do a radio show late in the day. Then after the show's over, I'll whatever I do, dinner, and then I'll work on the website for an hour. Okay, then watch movies and go to sleep. I don't know, 16 hours a day? So one of the things I like doing is taking news stories and changing the headlines. So when I read that Sarah Palin endorsed the Trump debate, I wrote this headline. I wrote, Tundra Tootsie touts Trump tumble. Because I had fun with the words. The story's been taken down from the website, but it was a funny headline. So sometimes I have fun with the headlines. You know, most of them are not my headlines. Some are. Did Soros know that MF Global would default on euro bonds? Well, he only bought $2 billion of them a few weeks ago before old Corzine said, oh, man, I don't know where the money is. He don't know where the money is. He don't know. But Soros put his capital into a liquid form a little while ago. He was waiting for his friend Corzine, it looks like to me, to default on the bet wrong. And he picked up the pieces. It's unreal to me. The most evil man on the earth. Perhaps Dr. Evil personified, the most dangerous man on the planet. And he's revered by this White House because he put them in office. I never saw anything like this. Unbelievable to me. How could anyone lose all this money and not get pissed off at George Soros if you know he made money on this? How could you not get crazy? How could you not go nuts in the streets? Maybe you should get a tent outside the White House. What's the difference? Let's take the callers. Virginia, Skip, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey,
Skip.
Michael.
Yes.
Michael.
Yes.
You make me laugh.
Good.
I was talking last night when you were talking about the Christmas thing, and I messed up my caulk. And tonight I was drilling holes for putting handles on the things in the kitchen here, and I had to reset them.
Okay, I understand that. That's nice to hear. I really love it. But what line is it that made you misdrill the hole?
When you started doing the Elvis thing, when he was high on smack, I think is what you said.
When I said every night was a white Christmas for Elvis, that was funny, I think.
Yeah, I got to say this to the country. I'm working on my rental. I have 3 of them. And you know what I do during the day?
No.
You know what my job is?
No.
Nope. Not some big stock broker. I'm a sewer worker.
You're a sewer worker, but you saved enough money to buy rentals and you keep them up yourself.
Yep. And I've...
You should tell that to the bums in the tents who think that you're such a rich guy. I'm glad I can entertain you and relieve the tension a little bit, you know, for everybody out there. Las Vegas, you're up next, Corey. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage, your line about the campaign turning into like the Muppet Show on tour was just had me rolling. And I completely agree with you that Romney is best suited to go against Obama, and I can't believe
exactly. Yes, he's a moderate Republican of the Rockefeller ilk. Certainly not a conservative, but it's the best we're going to get, and he's absolutely capable of beating Obama, while Gingrich is going to be devastated if he runs against him, for all the reasons I've mentioned over and over again on this show.
Right.
And the Republicans, if they had any brains, would withdraw Romney from every debate from now on and say, you know what he should say? I'm not against debating, but I'm saving it for the one debate that matters, and that's against Obama because he's got to go. That's it. If he would take that position and let the other Muppets go out on their roadshow to sell their books, that's the end of the story. You know?
That's right.
All right. I appreciate it. That's true. Cuban government on Friday called a flotilla sailing toward Havana a provocation. Exile flotilla sails toward Cuba for fireworks. What, do people want to emigrate to Cuba from Miami? I can't. K Key West. The Cuban exile flotilla sailed for a spot off Havana's coast Friday, plowing through 3-foot waves on its way to launch fireworks as a show of support for dissidents pushing for democracy on the island. Dissidents reported a strong wave of arrests Friday in Cuba, including those of prize-winning independent journalist Guillermo Fariñas and rock musician Ciro Díaz, in an apparent attempt to avert opposition protests linked to the flotilla. Well, there's no freedom in Cuba. It's a dictatorship. It's still a prison camp. It's still a communist dictatorship and a prison camp along the lines of what Obama would like to introduce here in America, in my estimation, or at least the people around them would. That's all. Terrible. So, that's that story. That's that story. Flotilla, Cuba, fireworks, and they get mad. Shows you what freedom is, huh? You know, today I was walking with the dog in the city, just walking him. And the sun was out and mild, very mild. I love the winter sun in San Francisco. I just love it. There's a certain something. It's cold, it's crisp, it's sunny, and the buildings are, you know, lit up for the holidays, and people have a certain snap in their feet, and they're kind of happier, and they're more apt to smile at a dog, as I said to you. And I stopped, and I took a very deep breath, and I said, this is what freedom is. I really did. I said, this is what freedom is. This is what people say who have been incarcerated for a long period of time. It is not the skyrockets. It's not the trip to Las Vegas. It's walking in the street freely, walking your dog and breathing the air. That's freedom. It's the simple acts of freedom that define a nation. We're still living in a great nation and a free nation. And you have to understand that it doesn't have to come down to you in a telegram for you to understand what you really have in your hands. And it's a product not of Obama, your freedom. He didn't give it to you. It's not a product of the Republicans or the Democrats. It is a product of the founding documents of this nation, the U.S. Constitution. And that is why any politician who does not follow the Constitution is a clear and present danger to our freedom. And that is why a man as devious and as anti-constitutional as Obama, why he must be shown for what he is by a competitor such as Romney. He must explain it to the average person how he has become a tyrant, the tyrannical things that Obama has done and wishes to do and tried to do and was stopped from doing. And I think that that message could get across even to the young, ignorant voter, the ignoramus, even the ignoramus, the cannon fodder of our society, as it were, could understand that. Even the cannon fodder, who so prizes their liberation and their freedom, could understand why, although Obama appears to be cool and appears to represent freedom, he's the exact opposite. Now, I see that's too heavy, right. So now we have to do another Christmas song in order to lighten the load, because that was too much for most people listening to the show. Is there a Rat Pack White Christmas? Is that a good one? I don't know. I don't know these songs. How about Burl Ives, A Holly Jolly Christmas? Is that any good? No? Brenda Lee, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree? Is that good? Don't know what I'm talking. Are you guys there? Play something already. I'm groping. Hit a button, for God's sakes.
Thank God. Christmas. It's the best time of the year.
Earl Ives, okay.
I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer.
150 counts Trump tumble. I'll be right back. Oh, no, no, not, it's not break time. Merry Christmas to all, including Bernie Ward. Merry Christmas to all of the former talk show hosts on the former three-letter station in San Francisco. See how it feels. How does it feel to be on your own like a Rolling Stone? They're all looking for jobs. They all want to become a syndicated talent now. There's no room. No room. It's all done. It's over. You're finished. No more free meals. No more free meals. It's all over. I'm loath to accept anything for free. I hate it when someone buys me a meal in a restaurant. I hate it. I always have. And they want to because they want you to plug them. Okay, that's... I don't like it because I hate the obligation. I hate it. First of all, it's illegal. And the only way I can stop a restaurant owner who wants me to take something for nothing is say it's illegal, I don't want it. I can't accept it. I don't need it. I don't want a free meal. Then they expect something. And secondly, you can't eat... How can you eat when it's for free? I'm not poor. The Muppets do the tour. I can't look at Gingrich's face anymore. I can't take it. I don't want to see him anymore. I thought he was gone and done and finished and toast. What are they thinking? Where'd they get this guy from? Where did they get him from? Why is he bothering me? Why is that face, that pudgy, insider face, that corrupt insider face. Why is he smiling that overly? He is the poster boy for everything that people hate about old boy networks. Do you know that? Listen to what I just said. Gingrich's face is everything that people hate about the old boy network in Washington. When you say Beltway, don't you think of a face like Gingrich's? Yes, he's got some great ideas, but so what? Many bad politicians had some great ideas. Doesn't mean anything. He can't win against Obama. He's running to spoil the election for Romney. Yes, I've had to become a Romney supporter this far out, and I never thought I would, but that's the way it is. He's the only one who can beat the Marxist in the White House. I don't care whether it'll come on the show, and it doesn't matter to me. With God's help, I'll go on, he'll go on. And, you know, as I said, I'll sleep better at night with Romney in the White House as commander-in-chief than Obama. Oh, I can't wait till Obama retires already. I just can't. What's he going to do when he retires? Probably join Soros' hedge fund. Prison psychologist accused of faking rape. Woman caught making meth inside Walmart. Sacramento, California. She split her own lip with a pin, scraped her knuckles with sandpaper, and had her friend punch her in the face. Investigators say she even ripped open her blouse, then wet her pants to give the appearance she had been knocked unconscious. But it was all part of what authorities said Friday was an elaborate hoax by the woman to convince her husband she was raped so they could move to a safer neighborhood. Charges filed by the Sacramento County District Attorney allege Lori Ann Martinez, a prison psychologist, oy vey, God, conspired with the friend to create the appearance that she was beaten, robbed, and raped by a stranger in April in her Sacramento home. She did this in order to convince her husband that they needed to move from a blighted high-crime area? It didn't work. Instead, the couple filed for divorce 6 weeks after the April 10th incident. Police said, if all you wanted to do was move, there's other ways than staging a burglary and a rape. Oh, God! Martinez is a psychologist for the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. That is amazing. That is amazing. That's who works in the prisons? That's the mindset? What a story that is. Wow. Oh, I can't knock the profession. I mean, I have friends who are in the profession of psychology, you know, close friends and all that. Not all of them are as nuts as this. It's easy to knock psychologists and lawyers, but God knows we need them. I personally don't, but you do. The society needs them. Marilyn in Sacramento, California. Welcome to the program.
You asked earlier what, you know, we thought was funny, and I think you're funny. You know, you, like, really tell it like it is. I'm as disgusted with the situation as you are, but you might as well laugh, you know?
Yes.
And I can listen to you with my boys, and I don't have to worry about something dirty coming up that
no,
I'm embarrassed.
No. See, this is important to say, Marilyn. When I watch an HBO or Showtime special with so-called comedians, and every other word is the most vile, the filthiest imaginable words spill out of their mouth, I've heard everything. It's not funny. It's disgusting. There's nothing humorous in it. It shows that they have no humor at all. There's one cretin with short hair who appeared first on the Stern Show. I forget his name. He's the most disgusting character I've ever seen. He does it about children and women and insults them. It's not funny.
No, you're
funny. Funny is the ability to touch people's senses of humor without getting vile. That's funny. And there are ways to do it. You don't have to insult people. You don't have to, you know, insult your religion. You don't have to make a mockery of your own self. And moreover, but you don't have to get disgusting in order to make people laugh. Don't you think that's true?
Exactly. You know, I raised my kids on you. I discovered you 10 years ago, and you're the reason my boys are aware of what's going on in this world, you know.
You know, you want to hear something? I've been on the radio now since 94 locally and since 2000 nationally. I meet people who say to me, well, my dad passed away, but I started listening to you 10 years ago when I was 12 years old. I'm now 22, and you influenced my life. It's an amazing thing to hear, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Because sitting here alone in a room with a microphone, you have no idea who you're reaching, Marilyn.
Yeah. That's why I called you. I wanted to let you know that we're listening.
I am sending you a copy of Abuse of Power. It's safe enough for you to read. I don't know about your boys.
Thank you.
I don't know. Now they tell me that the two sex scenes in the book are too much, that they should be more Hallmarky. In my next novel, I have to make it more Hallmarky to reach a bigger audience. What's wrong with a little reality? I don't know. There were just two scenes that were quite graphic. nothing dirty. The words aren't dirty, but the sexual scenes that are described in Abuse of Power described in a way that they could be seen to have occurred. Because a lot of novels write fake sex scenes that don't look real to me, you know? And who's interested in that anyway? I see now I'm on a border. I'm border now. I'm hitting the border now. I'm hitting the border crossing. I'm approaching the guard gate of where I can't go. But I would really like to tell you what I mean about this. I can't, though, on radio. I cross over it. If I was on a stage and someone gave me a little drink, then I'd start going over into the, you know, the twilight zone of my speech, and I'd lose 90% of my audience. The other 10% would become fanatic listeners. They'd love me more, but I can't do it. So you could imagine what I'm saying to you. Novels are interesting, how you get to describe, say things you can't say on radio, and also create little marionettes for yourself that can speak for you. You know, all of the different characters in your own head. We all have them, right? We all have characters in our head. And if you're completely dissociative, you're crazy and you wind up in a nut house. Or you take a medication to make the voices stop. But if you're really lucky, what you do is you listen to the voices and you put them into a book. You see how that works? See, I found this out many years ago when I was young and I didn't know I was gifted. I thought I was crazy. At 18, I said, oh, man, I can't take these thoughts. Oh, God, you know, this thought, that thought, that thought, this thought. Then I realized, I read Shakespeare, and I said, wait a minute, where do you think Shakespeare's characters came from? From King Lear to the Fool, they were all inside his head. So today they would declare him nuts and put him in a nut house. Or he'd go to work for a government. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
See, that's the voice of America. He's probably, you know, had a few drinks. He wasn't... You know, here's a story. Hollywood shootout. Gunman calmly target drivers, pedestrians. Some nut takes out a weapon and starts shooting at a dozen people Friday, today. Hollywood and Vine. Shoots a guy in the jaw, blah, blah, blah. And thank God there are police off-duty patrolmen. One of them shot him and killed him before he killed somebody else or killed somebody at all. Could you believe this? The gunman was eventually shot by a detective and an off-duty officer who may have been working on a movie set nearby. Thank God that there are men with guns and the ability to use them, or this would have ended much worse. Now, you know what burns me up about this story? Who was the gunman? What do you mean gunman calmly targeted drivers? Who is he? Why do they hide the names? What is this now with the lawyers? Everywhere you turn. Virginia Tech, they finally released the name the next day. Some kid from another college, a guy from another college. This one, no name yet. Why? Why is there no name? The first thing I see when I see a story like this is I want to see the name. Maybe it's my conditioning as a child. Why? It's an interesting question. Why do I want to see the man's name and picture, the perp? First of all, it's human nature to want to know who the bad people are. That's number one. B, it's human nature to know that if you look at the bad person, you'll know who to avoid next time. That's probably why they don't show it, if you get the drift. That's number two, the AP today. You're afraid that you'll get the right message. But I'll tell you why, because when I was a kid, we read the newspapers in New York City. I told you the Daily News, the Mirror, the Post, the Journal American. There were a lot of newspapers in my house. And my mother taught us in different ways, but one of the ways she taught us was she'd look through the paper, and she'd see a crime, and they would see the bad person with his picture and his name, and she'd say, look at that, look who did it. And she would say, don't ever be like that person. You understand what I'm saying? And God forbid it was somebody from her ethnic group. She would be humiliated and felt that she personally failed society. That's why I'm a good person today, because I take everything very personally, as should you. And that's why when Obama insulted the Jews today by doing the Hanukkah candles 2 weeks ahead and lighting them all and saying, you guys with the whiskers I won't kiss. Okay, how much of an insult can you take from this man? It's endless, I guess. Endless.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Suggestion right now is that somehow, this Keystone issue will create jobs. Here's what I know. However many jobs might be generated by a Keystone pipeline, they're going to be a lot fewer than the jobs that are created by extending the payroll tax cut and extending unemployment insurance.
Sleigh bells in the snow.
And here are all the stories and more on michaelsavage.com. Trump is looking into canceling the GOP debate that he set up because only Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum were going to show up. That's a big story, and we'll be talking about it. You know the $1.2 billion that Corzine allegedly lost at MF Global? A story came out today saying that Soros may have gained from Corzine's MF loss. Wow. Shocked, are you? $250 million in taxpayer cash on penis pumps. I don't know what that has to do with Soros, but it's on Michael Savage. Criticism of Islam could soon be a crime in the United States under Hillary Clinton. GOP lawmaker says Eric Holder could be impeached. Yeah, right. Yemeni man who stormed the cockpit door has been declared incompetent to stand trial. That's interesting. He was competent enough to storm the cockpit door, but he can't stand trial? I don't blame him for not being able to stand the trial, but shouldn't he stand trial? Well, not in America. He's incompetent. Federal judge, in San Francisco. He said that that's U.S. District Judge Jeffrey White held that Raga Al-Mursi was unable to aid in his own defense in order to be hospitalized for the next 4 months for mental illness treatment. Really? He was arrested on May 9th after he marched toward the cockpit on a Chicago to San Francisco American Airlines flight before pounding on his door while yelling, Allahu Akbar, in Arabic, and also shouted some of the terrorist hijackers, the phrase that was shouted by some of the terrorist hijackers on 9/11. Al-Mursi was tackled by a flight attendant before being subdued by several passengers. In court Thursday, Al-Mursi's lawyer, Chris Morales, said that doctors believe his client suffers from schizophrenia. I have a lot to say about that. This is unbelievable to me. His family says they should be releasing him into their care. His cousin Muhammad Al-Mursi said, we'll take care of him, release him to us. Yeah. The judge is incompetent. The judge should be sent to Yemen. Can you believe this? If he's as incompetent, then I'm the Queen of England. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What a country we live in. The terrorists have won with federal judges like District Judge Jeffrey White. We don't need Al-Qaeda. Read the whole story on michaelsavage.com. Here's another one, and I'm not making this up either. You ready for this? NYU offering course on Occupy Wall Street movement.
If these Republican lawmakers were truly concerned with fighting voter fraud, they would take on actual documented problems, such as distributing flyers with false information meant to trick voters, improperly purging voters, or tampering with election equipment and forms. Instead, they're pushing laws designed to change election outcomes by reducing voting, repressing turnout, and turning the clock back to the days of Jim Crow.
Wow, you know how much that irritates me. Well, imagine how your throat will get this winter without Pine Brothers Softish Throat Drops. That's right. I'm talking about Pine Brothers Softish Throat Drops we all grew up with. They're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors. Pine Brothers has been a trusted brand since 1870. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothersyum.com. Obama says more jobs in unemployment insurance than the Keystone Pipeline. Does he not understand that unemployment insurance is not a job? Muslim pleads guilty in Seattle plot against military. A premature Hanukkah at the Obama White House. 2 weeks early and he lit all the candles. I guess his ratings amongst Jews went down, so the candles went up. What else is on michaelsavage.com? Let's see. Edwards Air Force Base says goodbye to two military working dogs. Proposed South Korean towers resemble the collapsing World Trade Center. And a South Beach penthouse sold for a record-setting $21.5 million in Miami Beach, South Beach. $21.5 million for a penthouse condominium. Where's the recession, George? All this and more on michaelsavage.com, where you can still buy your last few copies of Abuse of Power. When I say that, yes, you'll be able to buy it next year, but the first printing is almost gone. And if you want a rare copy, you've got to get it now by going to Amazon or at your local bookstore, michaelsavage.com. What else is in the news? Well, let's see what else is in the news. Well, everything is in the news. Everything is in the move. Dems are moving to ban the Occupy movement from the 2012 convention. That's typical of them. First they encourage it, now they block them. It's like 1968 all over again, right? Imagine if the occupiers hit the Democrat National Convention like they did in 1968. Wouldn't that be fun? That'd be great. They're prepping for Occupy Wall Street at the Democrat National Committee. Same as they did in 1968. That's good. Oh, I hope so. You know, what goes around comes around. It's going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's interesting. So they're talking about blocking them before they even get there with their filthy tents and masks. You know. Oh, I hope so. What goes around comes around. They give them a southern tent. Corzine stun cash can't be found. $1.2 billion is missing. But his loss may be George Soros' gain. Did you hear this one? Moody's downgrades three French banks. Looks like the Trump debate may be off. I think we mentioned that.
Guess he played his Trump card.
Played his trumpet.
Wasn't too good at tooting his own horn.
Newt plots attack on Mitt. Proves to me he's working for the Democrats. Holding a phone call to have Iowa supporters attack Romney. That's awful. This is unbelievable. Oh, boy. Gingrich is really up to his neck in alligators that he released on Romney. As you know, the Trump Newsmax debate may not happen. And Gingrich is saying if they're afraid of Trump, how will they handle Obama? Newt Gingrich blasted his Republican cohorts Friday for refusing to attend the Newsmax television debate with Trump as moderator, saying they can't expect to defeat Obama if they're worried about moderator Donald Trump. I think if you're afraid to debate with Donald Trump, people are going to say, so you want me to believe you can debate Barack Obama, but you're afraid to show up with Donald Trump? Mm-hmm. Well, there we go. There we go. Kane says he's not ready to endorse a GOP hopeful. Take this candidate, please, and keep him away from them. Maybe. Anyway, that's it. 1-800-449-8255. All this and more today on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Gentlemen, today we're going to take a little trip together. We're going to talk about self-hating individuals in the media. Self-deprecating ethnic humor is the focus today for a couple of reasons. In this confusion of America today because of the gang from Chicago and the great imposter who is playing at president, the man with training wheels, Barack Hussein Obama, people do not know what conservatives stand for. And since he has a compliant media, they would like you to believe that the largest majority of the electorate, the conservative population, has no idea what it stands for. Well, I clearly have defined what it stands for, borders, language, and culture. Many of you can understand what I mean when I say we stand for borders. How hard is that to figure out when we have internationalists who want to not only destroy our borders, which they've effectively done by permitting unlimited immigration primarily from Mexico, but now they want to destroy the U.S. dollar completely and replace it with an international currency, therefore destroying your entire basis of existence as an American. So we understand what borders mean. If I say language, we know what it means. We don't want a polyglot. We don't want the Tower of Babel. We want the language English in a business place, in a governmental workplace. We don't want to go to the DMV and press 2 for Spanish. But many of you don't know what I mean when I say culture. When I say borders, language, and culture, as I said, you can understand borders, language, but you don't know what culture means. Let me define what I mean by culture, first in the negative. I mean that we conservatives are sick of the sewer pipe that runs out of Hollywood. I mean that we conservatives are sick of the vermin in the media who perpetuate vulgarity, cursing, sexual degeneracy, making a mockery of everything that we believe in. That's what I mean by culture. We're sick of the sewer pipe that comes out of Hollywood. Case in point, Larry David, Curb Your Enthusiasm. Now, the first rule is, what you do is you don't talk about people you don't like because you don't want to give them publicity. You know what? I'm going to talk about someone I detest who needs to be stopped before he brings terrible calamity upon the Jewish people. And this man, in my opinion, is insane. Everyone around Larry David is insane. These are people so insular, so wrapped up in their own insanity that they think they're intelligent because they're making money at it. But as someone asked, is one of America's funniest people actually just an anti-Semite in Jews' clothing? What are we talking about? Who is this man? Many of you never heard of him because you don't get HBO. This fellow, Larry David, a typical Brooklyn type, the type that would have gone into the Garment Center years ago, instead he migrated out to Hollywood and produced this vulgarity over the years, started with a show called Seinfeld. I never saw anything in Seinfeld because I never liked the Woody Allen schlemiel Jew. I never liked the image of the weak Jew. I saw it with Woody Allen. I saw it with people before him. They made me cringe. And then along came Seinfeld, and the average American finally got a picture of what the Jew is, thinking that all Jews are whiny, all Jews are neurotic, and that all Jews are paranoid, all Jews are complainers, all Jews are unethical, all Jews are selfish. In other words, they were Seinfeld. That's who Larry David created, Seinfeld, with the guy, whatever his name is, Jerry Seinfeld. Now the guy goes and creates a new show called Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is shown on HBO, to great acclaim amongst the Hollywood types. Only Hollywood seems to like it. Why? David exemplifies the worst in the Jewish stereotype, and yet he displays them as if they were badges of honor. So they call that brilliant. Why is it brilliant? It was called the Bear Midriff. And in it, him and Jerry Seinfeld have to talk to their assistant, Maureen, about her belly-bearing attire. Instead, she's fat, and she wears a top that lets her stomach hang out. So in other words, the one Christian in the show is shown to be ugly and fat and stupid. And she quits. You follow me? Now it gets even uglier. Larry David takes a pill to increase his flow of urine, and it causes urine to splatter on the wall. He goes to her house to apologize, and his urine splatters on a portrait of Jesus, with the urine coming down from the portrait's eye, and he runs out of the bathroom. The next day, his employee comes in screaming that there's been a miracle, that there's a weeping Jesus in the bathroom, and that she's going to quit her job, and that her and her mother are going to go to churches and talk about this miracle of Jesus weeping in the bathroom. Meanwhile, it's Larry's urine running from the portrait of Jesus. Now, I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you if this you think is appropriate as humor. And if he's such a brave, brazen man, Larry David from Coney Island, New York, what does he have to say about Muhammad? How come the great Larry David feels, well, he can ridicule Jews, nothing happens. He can ridicule Christians, nothing happens. But the great Larry David and his clowns from Brooklyn are surprisingly silent when it comes to the Islamo-terrorists. Isn't that interesting? So I bring us back to the main point, which is self-deprecating ethnic humor. And what I have to do is frame the whole thing again in the context of borders, language, and culture, and talk about this. Why? Because some entertainers depend on their own God-given talent to make a living. Think back on the age of Steve Allen. Steve Allen also fought against vulgarity in the media. He never used a dirty word to get a laugh. Every time I turn on HBO, there's another degenerate in front of another staged audience, cursing and screaming in the most vile language imaginable. And people sit there as stooges laughing. And they fall back in many cases on vile racist stereotypes about their own people in order to make a buck. For example, there's a woman named Margaret Cho who does the same thing about Korean people that Larry Davis does about Jews. She puts down her own people to get a laugh out of the audience. But look at the difference between Groucho Marx, who was Jewish, and Larry David. Groucho Marx was one of the most successful comedians of the 20th century. He didn't curse. He didn't put down Jews, but he used his own wit and did not indulge in ethnic stereotypes. Now look at Larry David, the man who created Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm. This man revels in perpetuating Jewish stereotypes. He specializes in creating and portraying characters who are weak, neurotic, whining, and vulgar, and all Jewish. And as time goes on, he gets more and more vile and less funny. And I said I saw an episode of his show where his character urinates on a picture of Jesus, and the people who are in the house who own the picture of Jesus think that it's a miracle, and he mocks them. I believe every Christian in America should be outraged, and I believe every Christian in America should demand that HBO take the show off in order to send a clear message that you're not going to tolerate any more of this Christian bashing. What if this episode had attacked Muslims?
Savage.
I'll be home for Christmas.
The Iranians were recently delivered a highly classified U.S. Air Force drone in perfect condition. We have no idea whether this happened as a result of a traitor in the U.S. government, whether it fell out of the sky. I've no idea. But it seems to be in perfect shape. Joining us right now on the Savage Nation to talk about this and much more is Eric Stackelback, a terrorism analyst at CBN News. Eric Stackelback, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to talk to you.
So what's the consequences? What are the consequences for the Iranians owning now one of the most top secret drone? How'd they get it?
The interesting thing about this, Michael, the scary thing about it, I should say, is that the Iranians now have this high-tech, the highest of the high-tech drones, and not only will they glean information from it, they're going to pass it on to China, they're going to pass it on to Russia. I wouldn't be surprised right now if we have Chinese and Russian scientists in Tehran taking a look at this drone. So that's the danger of it. This is great American technology that's going to fall into the hands of our worst enemies, not only Iran, but China and Russia, who are building up militarily, who are angling to become major players to overtake the U.S. as the world's superpower. Even Russia, yes, as much as they've been struggling, Putin has designs on reestablishing Russia as a great power. These three countries are now going to have our most valuable technology. And President Obama, very interesting point here, Michael, apparently nixed a plan that would have seen American Special Forces commandos go into Iran from Afghanistan and retrieve this drone. He nixed that, Michael. He ixnayed it because he said that it would have been perceived as an act of war. Oh, really? Well, I have news for you, Mr. President. Iran has been at war with America for 32 years. Talk about an act of war. How about back in October, Michael, which you and I talked about here on the show, when an Iranian plot was uncovered to assassinate the Saudi and Israeli ambassadors on American soil right here where I'm sitting in Washington, D.C. Now that is an act of war, and it's about time we responded.
Of course there's a chance that Iran will be able to reverse engineer it. Don't you agree?
you know, the big threat here, the big scare here is, yes, that they will be able to reverse engineer it. But some military experts, Michael, are saying it's going to be very difficult for Iran to do that. But you have to think that the Russians and the Chinese are pretty technically adept and have some very good people working for them that might indeed be able to reverse engineer this. But military experts I've talked to about it so far have kind of questioned that, if actually they can, if the bad guys can actually do that.
According to some reports, a high-risk raid has been canceled to recover the drone from Iran. I mean, should we go after the drone or what?
I think absolutely we missed the boat here, and we should have done. It would have been a daring raid, absolutely. But I think this drone was so valuable. It was so high tech. It was one of the greatest tools in our arsenal in this war against Islamic Jihad. It was used to monitor the hideout of Osama bin Laden in Pakistan, for instance. Such a valuable tool. And to see this technology get into the hands of Iran, China, Russia, North Korea, who knows who else the Iranians would pass it off to, I think is a very steep price to pay. And I think also it shows weakness on our part. This is a propaganda victory on the part of the Iranians. We've already seen them parading this drone on Iranian airwaves. It makes us look weak, makes us look indecisive. I think the raid would have been worth it. And you know what? If the Iranians construe it as an act of war, so be it. As I said, Michael, they've been at war with us for 32 years. They're gearing up to start a nuclear war with Israel, and the West are driving every day towards nuclear weapons. They have declared war against us. That's why they call us the Great Satan. So to go in to retrieve that drone, to me, is not an escalation, because Iran has already escalated this thing way out of control, especially with the plot that I mentioned back in October to carry out assassinations on American soil. That is an act of war. We're just responding in kind, and that drone was too valuable, in my opinion, to let just sit there in Iran and become not only a propaganda victory for the Iranians, but a technological coup as well for the Iranians and their radical allies.
What should the U.S. be doing, not only by ourselves, but our European allies, so to speak, in regards to the Iranian nuclear program?
Well, look right now, Michael, it's very interesting. Everyone is driving for sanctions. They think that apparently some in Europe and here in Washington, D.C., think that sanctions can dissuade the Iranians from their nuclear weapons program, that economic hardship can stop the Iranians. Now, the Iranians have proved time and time again that that ain't going to work, that they are hell-bent on acquiring the nuclear, acquiring the bomb. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the Iranian president himself, has said the Iranian nuclear program is like, quote, a train with no brakes. We've seen sabotage against Iranian nuclear installations. We've seen sanctions. We've seen bluster. We've seen threats. But Iran still drives on computer viruses, the Stuxnet virus last year that infected Iran's nuclear installations, the computer systems there, a serious bug, serious virus. Yet Iran seemed to continue marching on. And the UN report was just released last month. Michael said that Iran, yes, is closer than ever to acquiring the bomb with this military nuclear weapons program that they're conducting. So what do we do? As I said, Europe, America, the Obama administration, European leaders, all about sanctions. But here's the deal. While France, Britain, and Canada have actually put forward some pretty tough sanctions that would sanction Iran's central bank, which would actually put a hurting on Iran. It wouldn't stop them, but it would hurt them. The Obama administration has been against it. They keep talking sanctions, yet when it comes to really tough sanctions that would bite the Iranians, the Obama administration says, no, no, no. We can't sanction Iran's central bank, and we can't target Iran's oil industry, because that would cause global economic upheaval, like Obama hasn't caused that already or helped cause it already. So the Obama administration talks a good game about sanctions, but when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, they're not going to push tough sanctions. The Obama administration, Michael, has made a conscious decision to accept and to live with a nuclear Iran. That's why I call President Obama the container-in-chief, because he believes he can truly contain a nuclear Iran. Well, I have news for the president. This isn't the Cold War. Mutually assured destruction does not exist with this apocalyptic, insane Iranian regime that welcomes death and that thinks a Middle East conflict, a Middle East war, will usher in the return of their Islamic Messiah, the Mahdi, and he will lead the armies of Islam to victory. It sounds crazy, but this is what this Iranian regime believes, Michael, and they will shape policy around these insane beliefs, and getting a nuclear weapon is a crucial part of their strategy to bring about the end of days and the return of this Islamic Messiah that their leaders always talk about.
Well, what do you feel about any of the GOP candidates with regard to Iran? Will any of them get tough?
Well, look, Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum, I think, have been very strong in talking about Iran, and Mitt Romney to a degree has been as well. I like some of the people Gingrich said he would surround himself with. I'm a big fan of John Bolton, who Gingrich said would be in his cabinet. John Bolton absolutely gets the Iranian threat. I think Rick Santorum gets it. Rick Santorum has been talking about this Iranian threat for years. So I like those two guys a lot on this issue, and I think, judging by what I've seen from them, I think they would definitely take the necessary steps to stop this Iranian nuclear weapons program. And, Michael, I'm sorry to say that step that has to be taken is military action. I wish it wasn't so. But nothing else will dissuade this Iranian regime with this ideology that I talked about. They are hell-bent on acquiring these weapons. They are close. And, Michael, they will use them. I take them at their word. People didn't take Hitler at his word during the 1930s, 1920s, when in Mein Kampf he said he was going to wipe the Jews off the map, invade Russia, and expand throughout Europe. Well, he came to power, and he did just that. I take genocidal madmen at their word. I take the Iranian regime at their word. And I have news for our audience. This is not just an Israeli problem. In the Iranian worldview, the Iranian ideology, Israel is only the little Satan. They're just a bump on the road to the great Satan, America. We are the ultimate prize. That's why the Iranian regime right now is working on long-range intercontinental ballistic missiles that can reach the east coast of the United States, New York City, D.C., Boston, Philadelphia, and more. Now, our own Pentagon says, Michael, that by the year 2015, just 3 years from now, Iran may very well have missiles that can reach our Atlantic seaboard, and those missiles will be nuclear-tipped. So, yes, this is not just an Israeli problem, not just a problem for the Middle East. This is a problem for us as well, and we need to deal with it. Under this administration, Michael, we will not. The Obama administration, unless we are attacked first by Iran and he's forced to respond, there's no way, especially in an election year, that this president is going to take on Iran. And that leaves it, Michael, up to the Israelis. And I believe 2012 will be the year of reckoning with this Iranian nuclear weapons program. I believe we're going to wake up one day and we're going to hear one of two things. Either Iran has successfully tested a nuclear bomb, or Israel is in the process of taking out those Iranian nuclear facilities.
Eric Stackelback, thanks for joining us on the Savage Nation.
Michael, always a pleasure to be here, and you can check out more on Iran. I have an entire chapter devoted to the Iranian threat in my book, The Terrorist Next Door, How the Government is Deceiving You About the Islamist Threat. You can also check out my show, Stackelback on Terror, on CBNNews.com. Thanks again.
This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me.
Would you agree this operation was reckless? It's a reckless operation on the part of the United States?
I mean, I think the way it was carried out, I would certainly say it was flawed, reckless. Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. I mean, it was done inappropriately and has had tragic consequences, and is going, as I said in my opening statement, it's going to continue to have tragic consequences.
More people are going to die, probably.
Unfortunately, I think that's probably true.
The media is telling you as a conservative that you're lost, there's no conservative movement, you don't know what you stand for, that you should be a nice Republican and go along with the program of being Democrat light, that socialism is good as long as it has an R next to it. And I'm saying, no, you're wrong. We conservatives believe in borders, language, and culture. And today I'm emphasizing what I mean by culture, focusing on the sewer pipe that comes out of Hollywood, specifically the self-hating ethnic humor that's coming out and the vile language that's coming out from HBO in a show called Curb Your Enthusiasm. Now, there's a historic context to this. This is not the first time that a man has chosen to ridicule himself and his people to make a buck. In fact, I have in my hand a rebooted DVD of a piece they call perhaps the most offensive album ever made, called Jew Face. It's every stereotype ever imagined done around the turn of the century. I mean, when the Victrola first came around, when Moisey with his nose leads the band, and things like that. So you look at this propaganda, and you say, God, this is the kind of stuff that Hitler produced of the ugly picture of the Jew in order to make people hate the Jew so they could kill them, shove them into gas chambers, saying that they were less than human, they were subhumans. And you look at the traits that Larry David exemplifies, not only in his character, but in almost all of the other characters he surrounds himself with, complaining, they're unethical, they rob even children of small things, they rob candy from a restaurant, they will take anything that's not nailed down, they're paranoid, they're selfish, they're uncaring. I'm asking you, you don't think that this has a negative impact on the way people see Jews? And then again, it's the same with the Sopranos. Every Italian a wise guy. Every Italian a gangster. Every Italian a criminal. Go into any ethnic group and you'll find the same thing. Kansas City, Mark, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, this is nothing more than evil incarnate. And in a society that can't quite murder Christians yet, we'll just pee on their crucifixes and their pictures and stuff like that. We'll do
thank you
now.
For seeing how offended I was. I got so angry when he peed on the picture of Jesus. I said, they can't be doing this. They can't get away with this. It got worse, though. He mocked the religion itself.
It's just evil incarnate. That's why people are flying airplanes into buildings. It is, you've got to look at it as the manifestation of an evil being that has finally let go of what soul they have, has been filled with an empty void, and they carry through with this stuff. They're empty voids.
So, in other words, in your opinion, Larry David and his gang are the incarnation of evil, that evil actually has a face, evil actually has a body, evil actually exists, and evil is not always associated with murder, is it?
No.
You see, people think that when you say evil, it has to be the guy who flew a plane into the World Trade Center. Sure, that's evil. But evil is also doing things like this through images.
One thing that helps win wars is the people that sit in the middle, and they're the empty vessels that are waiting for one side to win or not, and they will choose the side that appears to be winning, and they will go with that side. They're empty vessels. They wait to be filled with something that's going to make them make a decision one way or the other.
So you're referring to which audience now?
Well, basically anybody that can't stand for any kind of belief, and they are...
So in other words, Larry David represents, in attacking his own people that he comes from, particularly the Orthodox Jew who actually believes in God, he is representing what the atheist himself epitomizes then.
Yeah.
So he is epitomizing the atheistic, religious-hating American, the so-called sophisticated urbanite, the type that you would find marching around thinking he's superior to everybody on the planet. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and you remove all the flesh, and you'll probably see a spirit there.
Well, Mark, why would a creature like this get so much attention today from HBO? Why would HBO choose these times to glorify this type of hatred?
Other empty vessels, Michael.
Mark, are you yourself a religious man?
I am a believer. I cannot be a Christian without the Jew first.
Interesting. So when I see the Muslim as portrayed in movies, the terrorist who says the non-believer, the infidel, is a non-person, in a way you actually agree with him. Mark, are you there? Would you say that when the Muslim says the non-believer, because does the Muslim actually believe that the Christian is a non-believer?
No, I think that the Muslim believes that the Christian is, there are two religions that are absolute in this world, and one is Islam and one is Christianity. They both have parallels that are similar along those lines. One uses the means to promote their faith through the tip of the sword. The other one uses the word of God as the sword. And the...
Well, Islam, in its peaceful form, respects the believing Jew, respects the believing Christian. Those who have hijacked Islam believe that only those who practice Islam are capable of being a full person. All the rest are either going to be converted or killed. So there's a schism within Islam. I understand that. Some are 9th century throwbacks, the Islamists, and the others are more or less willing to live with everyone else as long as they're left alone. I understand that as well. But coming back to the atheist as portrayed by Larry David, your depiction of him as pure evil is very interesting to me. I actually didn't go there, but it forces me to actually reconsider what evil actually is.
Well, why didn't he use Bozo the Clown to pee on, you know? Why did it have to be a picture of Jesus?
Interesting. In other words, it starts out with him takes a remedy to help his urine flow, and it causes splatter. So he goes in her bathroom, and it doesn't hit a clown portrait. It hits a portrait of Jesus, more particularly a drip of urine coming from the eye of Jesus. And this is considered funny amongst the boys from Sheepshead Bay who are mocking Christianity and getting away with it. This is what I'm getting at. Somebody has to say, you're wrong, you're vile, you're sick, and you're evil. I'm doing it today. And let the chips fall where they may. That's all. I know I'm taking a chance doing this. I know who runs the Hollywood mob. I know who runs the entertainment industry. I know who runs everything that I'm in. You think I'm not doing this and I'm an idiot? You think I'm an ignoramus and I don't understand what I'm doing to myself here? You're mistaken. But if a man doesn't stand up for what he believes, and he may as well quit talk radio, he may as well become just another shill for the Republican Party and call himself a conservative. But that's not me, my friends. You're going to get it like I see it. And the way I see it is this show has got to go.
Savage.